The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
All right, let me ask you a question right here from the beginning as we're getting started. Let me ask you a question. You, child of God, when was the last time? I want you to specifically try to recall the last time that you shared the gospel message. Maybe with an individual, maybe with a group or a crowd. When is the last time you preached the gospel message to a soul? Listen, that's our job, isn't it? Isn't that what we were sent here to do, commissioned by Jesus himself as he was ascending into the clouds? He commissioned us to go into the world and preach the gospel. When's the last time that you fulfilled the commission? Let me ask you another question. When is the last time? Let me rephrase the question. Let me say it this way. Think to yourself, who is that person that God has placed in your path, in your life, for you to disciple them in the ways of God? Do you know that you should have someone you're discipling? It is also our commission to disciple the converts. What does that mean? That means those that have come to the Lord, those that are new in the faith, or those that are struggling in their faith. It is our job, church, and I'm not talking to pastors. Now, let's get that right out. I'm not talking to the clergy. No, I'm speaking to you, man, woman, boy, girl. If you are a Christian called by the Lord, then you've been commissioned. And who are you discipling? Who have you taken by the hand? And in effect, you're saying to them, this is the way you're supposed to be doing this. This is the way that God wants us to live. Here is the path to victory. Here is the way to overcome the sin struggles that you were in. This is how to hone your spirit, man. This is how you relinquish control to the Holy Spirit to be the minister in your life. Who are you discipling? When did you last share the gospel news? Has it been a long time? Has it been a while? You know, I want to challenge you with this because this is our job. And this, in a great way, is what the church is so falling apart on, so falling down on the job. We've come to think that our responsibility is to create thriving churches in the eyes of the community, in the eyes of our congregation, a healthy, thriving church inside these walls with this nice roof and this steeple on the top. We think that we're supposed to be crafting and honing the ongoings and the inner workings inside this church so that if people just happen to stumble in the door, they will have programs and they will have an outlined way that we're going to operate today, and they will have a time that they can come next week to have a bake sale, and they can come next week and bring their kids for a program. You know, this is not, find that in the Bible. Find that in the Word of God. Go search Acts where God birthed and outlined the church and tell me if that's a picture of what we're supposed to be doing. It is not. They got together to fellowship, to worship together, to receive the teaching from the apostles. Then they went out and fulfilled the commission in everyday life. They went out and spread the word. And so I'm just challenging you today to think within yourself. When is the last time I did this? Have I ever done it? You know, most folks haven't. Most people have not. And the sad news is this. For most Christians, the average Christian today, if you are to just ask them the simple question, what must I do to be saved? The average Christian today could not answer that question. They could not. They might give you an answer, but they cannot answer it correctly. If you were, let me put it to you this way. Hypothetical. You see an automobile accident happen right in front of you. You rush over to the car. You look inside the window. The young man is about to die. He has 5 minutes of life left. And he wants to know Jesus before he dies. Do you know how to do that? I mean, that's just where it all comes to bear. Could you lead them to the Lord in the last few minutes of life and be confident that what you shared and what they did and what they experienced was real? Could you do it? Because we are just that close, all of us, to checking out of this place. Some of us are 5 minutes away. Are you ministering the gospel? I want to pray for you. And then we're going to get into the teaching on the Laodicean church. Going to look at the Laodicean letter. And we're going to continue on with verse 14. But before I do that, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for you about this. It's so important. Guys, it's so important. We've got to get out and start telling people about Jesus. Heavenly Father, my brothers and sisters right now, I don't know why you put that on my heart today, but Lord, it was for someone out there, maybe more than one. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name that the conviction that you've applied to somebody's heart, my God, that you would take that deep into their heart, plant those seeds, Heavenly Father, so that it grows a fruitful harvest. Not just a harvest in their own life, but Lord, that they would begin to speak words of life to a dying world. Some of them don't know how to do it, God. They've never been taught. They've never sought after you for that. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would send those to them to show them. I know you want us all to know. Help us to know, Lord, how to speak your word, how to spread your news. And Lord, don't just leave it up to our pastors, our evangelists, our ministers, God. Let it be me. Let it be him and her. Help us to know how to lift your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. All right, guys, let's get into this study on the Laodicean church. We've been kind of introducing this for a while, and last time we spoke on this, I got into the 14th verse where John, who is actually penning this letter to this church, he's dictating, really. Jesus is speaking these words over his shoulder and saying, John, send this letter to the church in Laodicea. Send it to the pastor in the church of Laodicea, and this is what I want you to write. And he wrote them down just the way the words, just the way Jesus told him. Can you imagine going to your mailbox, opening up, pulling out a letter, and it said, to David Markham from Jesus Christ? Woo! And the words therein were exactly, personally, to your heart, what Jesus wanted you to hear. And some of it was good, and some of it was encouraging, and some of it was kind of burned a little bit. Because he pointed out some stuff that you were falling short in, and it was to you from him. Do you know that's what our Bible is? Let's get real. The Word of God to us is a love letter written to God to you. And most of us put that love letter from God himself and leave it on our bedside table, leave it in our vehicle, pick it up on Sunday morning and maybe on Wednesday night if we decide to go. And within it is exactly what God has written to your heart. This is what Jesus did for this church. And I told you last time we spoke on this that he wrote it to the pastor. For the beginning of verse 14 says, to the angel of the church of Laodicea. It was addressed to the angel. Now, who is that? I'm not going into all the detail of this again, but it was the messenger of the church. Who is the messenger of any church? The one that takes the word of God and reads it and gives it and voices it to the people. It's the pastor. He is writing this to the pastor. Why? So the pastor can hold it close to his chest and decide whether he wants to share it with his wife or his closest friend. No, he wrote it to the pastor because he was expecting the pastor to in turn give this to the church of Laodicea. And I spoke a little bit about the responsibility and the role of the pastor last week. But after he addressed it to the pastor, he immediately went, therefore, to tell the pastor just who is writing you this word. And it did not say the Apostle John on it. Because right after Jesus wrote to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, my goodness, did he introduce himself. At this point, in all seven letters to the churches in Asia, Jesus introduces himself to the church. Now, throughout the Word of God, there are countless times that we get names and titles given to Jesus. Okay, we could make a whole list. I've got a friend named Dwayne that wrote a song that is entitled AKA Jesus, also known as Jesus. And it's a, you know, it's a catchy title, but the song is wonderful because it lists through several of the titles given to Christ throughout the Word. And every single one of them carry an important and distinct meaning. They're not just like, you know, I remember Muhammad Ali. He had the professional boxer, considered the greatest boxer of all time. He had several titles and monikers, and they would announce him in a fight, and they would go through all this stuff. But you know what? That was just to puff him up and to put him on a pedestal and maybe to make himself, the pride that he had of himself, spill out onto other people. Okay, that's not what Jesus and the titles or his names were about. And you know that. All of them carried important meaning. All of them point to an awesome characteristic of Christ and his nature and his character. And in this letter, Jesus selects personally the exact title or description for the moment that he wanted the church in Laodicea to hear. He told them who was talking to him. These are not some leisurely nicknames. No. No. They hold perfect meaning and consequence. It just amazes me. Think about this, truth seeker. Think about it. Jesus introduced himself to the church in Laodicea. And what an introduction it was. You know, it's no small deal when Jesus takes the time to introduce himself to you. When he introduced himself to me, brother, it changed my heart. It changed my life. Can you think of times in the Bible when Jesus introduced himself? Do you remember when he introduced himself to Peter? In a miraculous way. Before Peter knew it, he was pulling more fish into his boat than his nets could hold. And Jesus told him, Peter, I want to do something for you, son. I don't want you to be a fisherman like this anymore. I want to make you a fisher of men if you will follow me. And it was so striking when Jesus introduced himself to Peter. The Bible says Peter dropped his nets. Walked, what does that mean? Walked away from life as he had known it and built it for himself. He walked away from his business. He left his home for 3 years, just itinerantly coming back in from time to time. He walked away from everything because Jesus had introduced himself. Think of Paul. Think of Saul, rather, on a road to Damascus, headed that way in his hands. He had the right, the paperwork, to go, the warrants for arrest, if you will, to go find Christians that were speaking for Christ and arrest them, persecute them. Some of them would have probably died through the actions that Paul was about to initiate. He was on his way to do what he thought he was at right to do, and boy, did he find himself changing his mind when a light shone from heaven and Jesus introduced himself to Paul. Paul said, who are you? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And the next words Paul said was, Lord, called him Lord. What a heart change in a moment. Lord. Paul was saved immediately when Jesus had introduced himself to him. Now we have an introduction to the church in Laodicea. When we come back on this side of the break, I want to tell you all about it when Jesus introduced himself to the church. Come on back.
This is Jennifer again. I love how the Word of God can seem new every time you read it. I know you've heard and read these words before, but I'd like to read them to you. They are absolutely beautiful, and perhaps you need to hear them again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Truth seekers, I think it's great to know the 23rd Psalm. However, the Psalm can't save your soul or change your heart. The one you really need to know is the Shepherd. God bless you, and keep seeking the truth.
Hey, truth seekers, especially you pastors out there, go to truthinfusion.com and check out our schedule of events. We've got a lot of things coming up at different churches, but there's room for your church. If you have a need for a worship event or a teaching event, I'd love to come in and preach and teach the Word of God for you. Give me a call or email me at truthinfusion@gmail.com. Let's put something on the schedule for you and your congregation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. First, a salutation to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. And then the quotation begins, as Jesus introduces himself like this. These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. At this point, we have an introduction from Jesus. Immediately, Jesus is going to make the pastor and ultimately the church, the readers of this letter, sit up and take notice, because he is not parsing words here, truth seekers. Look, he does not begin gingerly. No, he is throwing down a hammer from the get-go, because this is a stinging... Oh, how do you describe the letter to Laodicea? It is blunt, it is coarse, and it is about to throw them for a loop. They don't see this coming. And I don't want to get into the letter. I'm just telling you, from the get-go, he's throwing the hammer down. The word amen, A-M-E-N, it really has become softened in our ears today. We use it all the time. We say it in just, you know, normal conversational language. We put it in prayers. We might say it in the church service. We might say it at the end of the song. We might say it sarcastically when someone says something we agree with. Well, amen. We use it a lot. It's a common word, and that's okay. But we use it so often and casually today that it's easy for us to skip past what it really is about, this word. In this case, we can't do that, because Jesus has just titled himself the Amen. So in this case, this word sets a tone for this entire letter. And the pastor, the angel of the Laodicean church, would have recognized the tone from the get-go, from the beginning. No question about it. First thing I want you to see, and if you're riding in your car, you can't see this, so I'm going to tell you. When Jesus says, these things say the Amen. The word Amen here is capitalized. Okay? Capital A-M-E-N. Jesus is not simply saying Amen. No. He is proclaiming, I am the Amen. Big difference, right? Okay, what does that mean? The word amen, as Jesus uses it here, if you do a Greek word study on this word, because it has the in front of it, that is the definite article in the Greek, and it really sets it apart as the climax, the ultimate, the top of the mountain here. The amen, the one and only. And the word amen here is better translated or better understood. He who is eminently true and faithful. He who is eminently true and faithful. In other words, what he says, this the amen, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. What the amen is saying is the absolute truth. He is not about to pass out idle threats because he is he who is eminently true and faithful. He is telling them the absolute truth. He is handing out promises here. Because why? Because it's coming from the amen. Jesus is not just speaking the truth. He is the truth. You understand the difference? He's not giving a truthful word. He is the embodiment of the truth. He issues truth from his very being. He is the truth. John 14:6. And Jesus is now proclaiming that again when he says the amen. He is telling them, I am the truth. And the Laodicean church will soon be characterized by Jesus in just the next verse or two as lukewarm. We're going to have a lot to say about that a little later. Lukewarm. Due to the fact that Jesus is the amen, the truth. Here's what I want you to know. He is perfectly qualified. Listen. To take inventory of the condition of the Laodicean church and call a spade a spade. Do you understand what I'm saying? He is, if anyone has the ability to know the truth about the condition of this church, it is the amen. There is no shading of what he's about to say. There is no, maybe this is true, or maybe I understated that, or maybe I overstated that. No, he has looked at the condition and the position of this church, and because he is the amen, he who is eminently true, whatever he is about to say is right on, 100%, spot on, perfect. No wiggle room, no getting out of it. I'm about to read your mail, is what Jesus is telling him. The amen. That's pretty powerful. Next thing. Jesus adds to his introduction. He refers to himself next as the faithful and true witness. Okay, now, if the amen somehow escaped their attention, which I'm telling you, it didn't. But if somehow they missed the power and the impact and the import of Jesus saying, I am the amen. Well, now he's about to go further and explain himself even further. They're not going to miss the introduction, guys. You see, here's the thing. Now, hopefully I won't get too sidetracked here, but when a person has become spiritually deaf, spiritually blind, because of the hardened heart that they are carrying, it goes without saying, if you're spiritually blind, you can't see the things of the Spirit. If you're spiritually deaf, you can't hear the things of the Spirit. And again, later on in this letter, Jesus is telling them, you're blind. So we're going to talk about that in depth in a little bit. But I want you to hear this. Jesus knows this pastor is spiritually deaf and blind. And so it's easy for them, that kind of person, and this is most Christians today, to skip over with our darkened eyes and deafened ears the truth that is being laid out before us. And maybe this is why Jesus is driving home this point to say, I am the amen, which meant what? What did it mean? The eminently true and faithful. He who is eminently true and faithful. And then right after that, he tells them, I am the faithful and true witness. So one person may say, well, he's being redundant. No, sir. Jesus is never redundant. If he ever repeats himself, You better sit up and listen, because if he says it two times, you needed to hear it. Perhaps this is why Jesus is driving this point home. The phrase, the faithful and true witness, it is almost the textbook definition that I just described of the word amen. So you make sure that you recognize these words are also capitalized. Faithful is capitalized. True and witness are capitalized. He is saying, this is me. I'm not saying that I'm a faithful and true person. I'm not saying that I do faithful things or I'm a good witness. He's saying, this is what I am. And the person speaking to you doesn't have these characteristics. I am this. Jesus is faithfulness. He is truth. He doesn't simply do these things. He is these things. Jesus is the great witness for God and the truth. He is unable to approve of anything that God does not approve of, because he is the true witness to the power, perfection, righteousness, characteristics, word of God. He is the faithful and the true witness. He is the Amen. Now, the final part of this introduction, Jesus says that he is the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. And when Jesus calls himself the beginning of the creation of God, when he tells the church that's who you're listening to now, he's actually making a reference to his place as the Redeemer. I think of John 17, verse 2. God says he's given Jesus power over all flesh. John 2, 8, he's put all things under his feet. Ephesians verses 1, starting in 20, says that he is over all things. The beginning of the creation of God means Jesus is the once and future king. He's telling them, I am the ruler. And in this way, he is speaking with all authority to the church of Laodicea. And after reading this introduction, the congregation should have realized, recognized, that whatever came next demanded their full attention and their immediate response. Jesus Christ was speaking to them personally. And correct reaction was absolutely truthful. I am the Amen. I am the faithful and the true witness. I am the beginning of the creation of God. And people, he has not changed. And if he's speaking to your heart today, he is still speaking as the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He is ruler over all things. And if he isn't received in your heart that way today, you need to pray about it. Get him back where he's supposed to be so that he can affect your life. God bless you. You keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.